Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Yud Gimel, Mishnah Hey. And remember that these prakim are arranged in such a way that each Mishnah describes a set of Kelim similar to each other. And in each one of these sets, we have a particular principle that we're discussing. So we've been discussing Kelim that are made in two parts, are made of different materials, or can be used in ways that are not their original usage, and so on and so forth. Today, we want to talk about needles in this Mishnah, and you can have different types of needles. So if you have a regular sewing needle, a machach, a nito, a charira, o uktza, if it's missing either end, remember previously we had Mishnayos about kitchen tools that have two different ends on them, each one is independent of the other. But a sewing needle has two ends and it's not independent, because if you lose either the eye of the needle or the point of a needle, you're not going to be able to do anything with it in terms of sewing. If you were mitakein that needle to be used as a pin, so now you're going to use it with mituach, you're going to pin things to spread them out, then obviously it doesn't need an eye and it doesn't need a point. It's still useful as a pin because you just put it through the material into the foam behind it. What about sack needles? Sack needles are much, much larger because sack is very coarse. So shall sakayin, if it's missing its eye. So that's still perfectly usable because actually that is commonly used as a pen. Remember, a pen in those days was a pen for writing on your iPad, which in those days consisted of wax, which when you inserted something more or less sharp, it would leave the word in the wax. So over there, it's perfectly good for writing in wax, even though it's missing its eye. But if its point is missing, then it's tahar, because then it's too thick for writing in the wax. How about if it's a needle that was basically made, a stylus, parnaset, if it was originally made for mituach, it's there in order to stick in to the cloth that you want to stretch out, so then it doesn't matter what, because then you can use it without that, without either side. It's still usable for stretching. How about a machat that became rusty? So there's two problems with the rusty needle. One problem is that it often will stain the cloth, and therefore you won't want to use it, and it's no longer usable. That's the way some Rishonim learned the issue that we're discussing. The other problem with rusty is that rust actually changes the thickness of the metal so that it sticks out and no longer goes smoothly through the cloth. So because of that, the din is, no matter which product you say, it's the same halacha. If things are so bad that you will not use it for sewing, so then it's no longer a kli. It's not usable and it's tar. It's tamei, it's still usable. How about a tsinora? Now, a tsinora is the equivalent of a fork. A fork, you'll notice all forks are curved, right? Because that way you get something on it and you hold it. A tsinora is a very curved fork that is used to pull out, let's say, a ptila inside of a nair, things like that. So if it was straightened out, it's no longer usable. So you made it like a straight fork. So then it's no good. But if then you went and you bent it again and restored its curve, then remember, there we get into the issue. Since we're dealing with kli matechet, so then it was chazur l'tumata yishana. So if it was tame before, it will regain its tuma. Okay, next Mishnah talks about another set. This set is a kli that is made out of two different materials. So one is a kli matechet, and it can become tame even without a beit kibul, but the other part of it is made out of eitz, and pshute kli eitz are not mekabel tuma. So here we need also to determine what is considered to be the essential kli. So the rule is that if the wooden part is in service of the metal part, so then it becomes bottled to it, and then the entire thing is shayach to being tameh. Because as we saw before, once we give the shame of the kli to the entire kli, even the part which had it been on its own, separate, would not have been mekabel tuma, but it would be mekabel tuma because now it is a kli that's mekabel tuma. If it's the other way around, where the metal part is in service to the wooden part, so then the main thing is wood, and there it would be tar, because if it's not, if it doesn't have a base kibul, it's pshute kli eitz. So for instance, let's talk about a key, okay? So a key in those days was made out of wood on the one hand, and it has these holes in it, and you could stick teeth into it, and then those teeth you put in. In those days, they obviously didn't have the machine to make the pins the way we make them today, so they would actually stick in pins of varying lengths. Those pins would fit into the equivalent Nakvus part on the lock. And that way you could always change the combination, so to speak, by putting in different pins or putting in different holes on the other side. So let's imagine that we have a potachat, which is the key. So the body of the key is made out of wood with holes in it. And on the other side, you would stick in teeth that were made of metal. So these teeth were called pins, even in Hebrew, pin. So a pin shalash shel matechet. So then even if only one of the pins was a metal pin, afilo achat, it would still become temea. And because why? Because the ikar part of a key is the part that is capable of fitting the latch that you have designed. So obviously the pin is the most important part of the key. So therefore, even though the key is made out of wood, it's the pin that's made out of metal. Even if there may be five other teeth over there, pins that are made out of wood, the one that's made out of metal gives chashivas to the entire kli. This Mishnah, by the way, serves for the modern Hebrew word for penis, which is called pin. Because pin, people think that it's a play on an English word in Hebrew, but it's not. It's a play on the Mishnah, which uses the word pin as a male part of a key. And therefore, it's actually a very intelligent choice. Potachat shel matachat. How about the other way around? If you have a key that's made out of metal, and all of the teeth are made out of wood, so then adarabba, it's essentially a wood kli without a base kibble, so it's pshuta kliyetz, and therefore it's tar. Now, the same thing is true about a ring. And here we're going to talk about a ring that it's made for a signet, but you should know that even a ring that has a signet is fundamentally decorative, and therefore we view its decorative aspect as being that which defines its status as a kli. So let's say you have a metal ring. So a metal ring obviously is gold, silver, or whatever metal you're going to be using, and it has in it a chotam, and very often they would use coral, and coral was considered to be wood, because basically it looks like a tree. The pins connect simply by pressure, insertion in a small hole. Sorry for interrupting to answer the chat. So if the tabat is itself metal, but the signet part of it is made out of wood or coral, so then it's tame, because even though coral and wood can't become tame, as a pshuta kliyetz, but the ring is metal. And the other way around, if the tabat itself is a coral ring and it has a metal piece for the chotam shalash matechet, then since the main surface of a ring is decorative, therefore it's a pshuta kliyetz and it's tahor. And getting back to these ideas of teeth, so if you take a piece of aluminum foil and you turn it into a shane. So you're going to make it with a piece that you could stick into a very simple lock to twist. Anyway, getting back to it. So now you form a piece of silver foil, which is metal, aluminum foil, into a sort of a key. So you make a piece at the end of it. Or you can have even a chain of a potachat. A tas is just a piece of foil or thin metal. Or you could have those old-fashioned real big keys, you know, they just have a very simple piece at the end. So that is tamei, even if it's not attached to the part of the body of the key, because it's so big that you're able to use it as an opener of a lock without the key part, the key part being the piece of wood or metal, whatever it is, that's holding the pins. Okay. Next Mishnah Zayin in Perek Yud Gimel is also talking about kelim that have two different sections. One is made out of metal, one is made out of wood. And here we're talking about not pins and keys, but we're talking about full kaolin that have completely different sections. And once again, we need to illustrate our rule. What is being meshamesh what? So there are these kedumim, the kind that are in Ashkelon. So a kedum was their equivalent of a refrigerator to keep things cool. What they used to do is they would put up a rod, and the rod was generally a wooden pole. On the pole, there would be hooks. And then if you had like a leather flask of wine or something, you would hang it on there in an area where the wind would blow and keep things cool. And that would provided a certain amount of cooling. And that was called the kiddum. So you keep your water cold. That's about as cold as you're going to get. So the ones that are made in Ashkelon, which click on to a wooden pool, and one, what happened is that the thing broke, but one of the hooks was still left that was attached to the pole. So then it could still be tame because a single hook is the same as a single pin. We're going to see that these are all chidushim that is not so clear why one small usable piece should be enough to turn a kli eitz into something that's tame. And the same thing is true of a ma'aber. Now, a ma'aber is the equivalent of a pitchfork, except it's made out of wood, because it's meant to be gentle, used on things that are going to be damaged by metal. Same thing is true of a mizra, which is also used the way a fork is used, but it's used for winnowing, and therefore it was made out of wood. A magov, which is a rake that's used afterwards to get out, after you've winnowed, you have to get out the good part from the bad part. And if you've got a comb for your head, and it's made out of wood, where one of the teeth would broke off, and you took a screw or a nail, and you made that part that was missing, the tooth that was missing, you made a tooth out of a nail, which was made out of metal. So the din is that now the whole thing can become tummy, because even though before it was pshuta kli eitz, now that it has one single piece of it, there's the tooth of it, it's made out of matechet, it's tummy. Rabbi Yoshua was not very impressed with all of these dinim of the past two Mishnayos. And al kulam amar Rabbi Yoshua, listen, gentlemen, I got to tell you that this thing is, to me, doesn't make any sense. The dvar chidash chidash sofrim. If you ask me how I can justify a din that one single pin is sufficient, how you can justify a single tooth in a comb, that should be enough to make the entire kli a metal kli, if you ask me, I would not be able to explain it to you. I'm saying over the Mishnah, but please don't ask me to justify it. Devar chidush chidush ofrim, ve'en li ma'ashiv. I have no way of explaining why this makes sense. I got to tell you the truth. Now, once we're on the topic of combs, so before we were on the topic of needles, then we went to combs. Now we're going to be talking about general denim of combs that are used for processing fibers, either wool or pishtim. So here is the din. Those combs have handles that are made out of wood, whereas the combs themselves, which is the main part, is made out of matechet, and therefore they're mekabel tuma, even though they do not have a base kibbel. What happens if some of their teeth break? So if you've got a comb for pishta, which is for linen, for flax, raw flax, shenitlu shina, so the teeth were broken, and all that were left were two teeth. It's still usable because you could still pull those two teeth between the fiber, and I mean, it's not very efficient, but it's still tame. But if only one tooth was left, what are you going to do with it? So if achat is left, then it's tahor. Furthermore, if all of these teeth break off, but each one is now detached from the actual comb, it's still usable. Because if it doesn't mean it's automatically tamei out, but if you set it to be used for writing, it's the same thing that we had before about a machachel saka'in. How about wool combs? Shel tzemer, if you took out every other tooth, shenitlu shinav achat mibein ha'tayim, you take out one from between every two teeth, so then it's tahar, because for wool is finer, you can't use it like that. Nishtayr bo shalosh b'makom echad, but if you've got three teeth in one place, which gives you an ability to pull it through, That's enough to at least make it usable when it comes to wool. Masha'inken, when it comes to pishtan. And the truth is that they're very different kalim. It's not just that it looks like a normal comb. A wool comb has two rows on it, as opposed to a regular comb of pishtan. And it's the interaction between the two sets that is chashuv. So because of that, we're talking about over here, the row that is closer to your hand on the handle. And that basically is there in order to hold it in place. Masha Inkein, if we need three, that's talking about the one that's actually doing the combing. Okay, so that's how the Tosfos Yom Tov explains it here. It's based on a Gemara. I'm having a hard time seeing the picture, but it does look generally correct. I think the one, that's better. Yeah, okay. Okay, excellent. Fine. So the Gemara essentially asks the kasha of the stira of why two, before even two was good and now three is good. The Gemara answers that it makes a difference whether you're talking about the inside teeth or the outside teeth. Okay. Aita achitzona achat mehem. If you're counting in the three tooth, you're counting the one at the end. And remember, in any comb, you've got this thicker tooth on the outside, which is really part of the outside of the comb. That doesn't count. So if I tachitzona achat mehem, that's too thick to really be used, and that is tahar. So it doesn't help you to really comb it at all. Now, the difference also is whether the pieces of a wool comb are usable. The wool as being finer, the teeth are also thinner. And since they're thin, they can't be used for writing in wax. And therefore, on their own, as opposed to the pishtan comb, then you do not have tumah, unless you've got two of them. If you've got two and you turn them into a tweezer, okay, fine. So then they're tumeot, because kol hakelim yordim lidei tumatam with machshava and maisa. If you've got one tooth and you make that a kind of sticker tool to be able to get into your oil, to clean out your oil from a lamp and to use it, or lemituach, you want to use it as a pin for putting up your cloth onto a background to clean, fine, that's also tumea. Anytime that you're going to make something into a kli, obviously, even though it's broken from another kli, that's perfectly okay.